Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio, Year 12. You can find the details at tastingroomradio.com, which is contained within a website called mulliganstew.ca. There's Mulligan Stew, the podcast, there's Mulligan Stew, the radio show, and there's Tasting Room Radio. The absolutely wonderful Laura Kettmer, the media relations manager for the British Columbia Wine Institute, is responsible for the Vintage 2018 Media Preview, which is a great way of introducing the 2018 wines to the media that cover wine in British Columbia. But instead of flooding the room with 18, 25, 35, 55 wineries, she invites four of the very best. Bailey Williamson from Blue Grouse in the Cowichan Valley. Howard Soon, formerly of Sandhill, now the winemaker at Vanessa Vineyards, located in Coston in the Similkameen Valley. Grant Stanley, highly respected, who is the winemaker at Spearhead Winery in Kelowna. And the legend, the one and only, Senka Tennant from Terra Vista Vineyards on the Naramata Bench. Senka Tennant, who created Nota Bene at Black Hills. But she's not making big reds anymore. We'll talk to all four and get a sense of how that vintage went. And just for your information, overall the 2018 vintage is one of the freshest and most elegant, with slightly cooler temperatures in most regions, making wines of vibrant acidity, lower alcohol, and intense fruit character. And to finish off the show, one of my all-time favorite guests and friends, Curtis Colt, who along with his partners is almost finished the organization for Top Drop 2019 in Vancouver. Top Drop is one of the great small wine gatherings in Canada. They started in Vancouver. Now there's a Top Drop in Calgary and in Vancouver. And we'll announce one more place, one more city where Top Drop is going to touch down this year. And wait until you find out where they're pouring. Welcome to Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Canada's number one winery, Road 13. It's time to book your dinner with Backyard Farms and Road 13. Amazing artisan wines with four-course meals prepared by Chef Chris Van Hooydonk of Backyard Farms. July 27, August 17, September 28, and October the 5th. All the details at road13vineyards.com. It's Vintage 2018. I'm Terry David Mulligan, back in Victoria. This vintage report is short and sweet. It's not all of the wineries all stuck in one room. It's Bailey Williamson from Blue Grouse, Senka Tennant from Terra Vista, Howard Soon from Vanessa, and Grant Stanley from Spearhead. And I have Grant in the big chair here. Welcome. First of all, tell me about your experience on the island and your relationship with Vancouver Island.
You know, I've been coming here for 16 years, basically just to promote the wines and, you know, kind of meet all the sommeliers and the wine influencers here. And this has been a really short trip, but I've really enjoyed myself. It's great. My sister actually lives on the island, so I get to visit some family while I'm here, too.
Give us the 30-second bio for folks so they understand where you came from to get to this point.
Oh, for sure. I arrived in the valley in 2003, the big fire year here in the Okanagan, and I completed a 10-year tenure at Quails Gate as the chief winemaker there. And then I went to a 50th parallel estate out in Lake Country because it was such an exciting kind of new development that I wanted to be a part of that. It was all about Pinot Noir. Yeah. And so I helped establish that winery. And then a couple of years ago, I wanted to come back to Kelowna, closer to town and closer to where I live. And I really wanted to be involved with somebody who was limiting the growth potential, limiting the size. And so this, they had a great experience already with some really beautiful plantings of Pinot Noir. And I wanted to be a part of it. So I came to an agreement with the owners who live in Vancouver, actually, and I took over the role as general manager and winemaker for what was at the time a 4,000 case winery. And in the last 2 years, we've embarked on a program to add a few really interesting and unique vineyards from around the valley to the portfolio. And so we've increased the portfolio, and we've actually increased production from, you know, as I say, around 3,500 up to about 6,000 cases. We built a new facility, a new winemaking facility with basically premium Pinot Noir production in mind. And we're in there now making wine.
Grant Stanley from Spearhead. You were at the pour last year at the Pinot Challenge, I believe in Culloden. What did you come away with? What kind of thoughts, ideas?
Well, the class of Pinot in the valley has, you know, been improving pretty dramatically over the last, I would say, 10 years. It did feel at one point, I guess, when I first arrived, that Pinot, you know, was being talked about, but it wasn't really widely being promoted as the great red of the valley, as I believe it is. And we have a 10 out of 10 proposition with Pinot Noir. I literally haven't been shut out of making great Pinot since I've been here. We had a couple of sensitive, cool years in 2010 and 2011, and I would say even last year with all the smoke and the cool climate was pretty challenging, but we still managed to make you know, what I think is pretty solid wine in those years. And ultimately, you know, the test of every great you know, or tough vintage, cool, hot, rainy, you know, I think those vintages really shine the light on great vineyard sites, because the great vineyard sites of the Okanagan can really see through all of those difficulties, and the lousy sites end up really being exposed. And we planted a lot of grapes on really lousy sites because, you know, while you're growing and developing a region, it's just people just get carried away and they eventually can't help themselves. They buy land that isn't suitable for grape production, that maybe is a little too frost prone or too flat. The proximity from the lake isn't where it should be, and you know, they pay the price of not having great grapes, you know.
Do you have a favorite clone?
I do. I planted it in my own front yard about 10 years ago, and it's the 115 of the Dijon clone series is my favorite clone, just because I've seen it perform well in different sites in Oregon, in New Zealand, in a Mornington Peninsula in Australia. I've seen it grow well in Chile. You know, in the world of Pinot Noir, it's the one that adapts best to everybody's place, and it can make standalone wine. This year I made the first vintage of Coyote Vineyard, and that's my home block that is exclusively in that vineyard, and we're very happy with how that worked out. It's a beautiful red fruit, you know, lighter feminine style Pinot.
Grant Stanley from Spearhead. Grant, you brought a surprising 2018 white Pinot Noir today. First of all, tell us about the process making a white Pinot.
Well, it's viticulturally, it's you know, it's a wonderful variety to work with, and it, you know, as you know, it offers so many different shades and different opportunities for rosé and as well. The reason I went down the white Pinot Noir track is I love Pinot Noir, and I love the aromatic profile that it offers in a white wine as well. It's that white peach and stone fruit, and so the process is pretty simple. It's just whole bunch pressed, and the pressing cycle, we use what we call in the wine industry fractionalizing. So we literally have things set up into two tanks, sometimes three, and we take the free run juice, the juice that literally just falls out of the press without even inflating the bag, and we use that for the white Pinot. And then pretty much as we start to see any kind of color or any phenolics coming out in the juice from the skins, then we cut it and we move it to rosé. So the two help each other.
And what Pinot characteristics stay with this, and what are...
Well, the skin characters obviously are not in the equation whatsoever. So it's a really unique opportunity to see what the pulp of the grape offers. And for my liking, as I say, that is, it's much more in that white peach and stone fruit and, you know, some of the things you do see in the red wine expression, but not as clear.
Grant Stanley, Spearhead. Grant, you did a 2018 Pinot Gris as your second pour. As you well know, everybody's making a Pinot Gris because, A, it grows well, it performs well, it pays the bills and allows you to buy you some time to do other things.
Yeah, you know, I guess a good way to describe that would be it's a workhorse wine in many ways, because you're right. It's, you know, case volume is good. It crops well year after year, and it offers beautiful orchard fruit characters and whatnot. You know, we take a little bit of the wine and put it into oak in order to kind of enhance the wine and fatten it and make it a little richer. But I think it's a great variety for the valley, because it is, like you say, it grows really well in the north. Right down to the southern end of the valley, offers different types of terroir perspectives on the grape. And we tasted a great one from Vancouver Island here today as well. So, you know, it's without a doubt, it's a great white variety for BC.
Okay, a couple of quick questions. What can we expect for the rest of the year in terms of releases from you?
Well, I've just released, I pretty much release all my wines in the spring. So basically the 17 reds are bottled Christmas time from the previous year, and you'll be tasting one of those very soon. And so I'm making literally six different Pinot Noirs, red Pinot Noirs. Three of them are single vineyards, site specific. One is a blend made by the wine club members themselves, and the other two are the cuvée, which is a selection of the best barrels that we have. And then, of course, the other two wines, the rosé. So there, you know, there's eight wines that are Pinot Noir. This year, something new that I produced is a little sticky, a little sweet wine, late harvest Riesling, because we also grow some lovely Riesling on the Spearhead site. And I noticed that it was on the flat, and there was a lot of mist, and basically moist weather that was not evacuating the site. And so we hung it out there for another 6 weeks past the original harvest date, and we got to about 31 bricks. So it's a beautiful little sweet wine, but not ice wine. It's more botrytis affected, raisined.
In other words, it spoke to you.
Yeah. It said, let's do a little sticky here. And I don't see us kind of revolving much past what we've already started producing in that dozen wines.
Do you have a field blend in you?
Only in the Pinot Noir camp. You know, I love mixing clones in the fermenter. You know, people talk a lot about, you know, keeping clones separate and seeing them as individuals. But over the years, I've actually really enjoyed taking field blends of multi-clone sites and marrying them all together, because you get beautiful interaction between the clones in the fermenter, more so than post-blending.
How about a message, finally, for the wine traveler, the destination traveler, thinking about the Okanagan and making plans, but concerned about the fires that we've seen over the past couple of years? What do you want to say to them?
Well, I would say there's, you know, not much left to burn. So I'm kind of hopeful that we've seen the worst of those situations. Certainly, most of West Kelowna has already burned, certainly the Okanagan Mountain Forest Park, because we're not going to see anything, you know, dangerous or nasty around us, because I think those fears have been mitigated. But I would say come back to us. We're hoping for no floods and no smoke and a beautiful summer, and looking forward to a great growing season. At Spearhead, we actually have a beautiful patio where we offer charcuterie and cheeses to go with the wines, and a lot of people love to come up and just on a beautiful day overlook Kelowna, look at the lake, and enjoy the sight. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? Thank you, Grant.
Thank you, man.
Grant Stanley from Spearhead. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the Wine Online National Wine Awards, number one winery in Canada. Summer hours are here. They're open now until Thanksgiving. The Castle is open daily, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, and at road13vineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. And they're very happy to announce that they have opened their tasting room for the year. They have a library release of a 2013 Pinot Noir, along with their new Pinot Gris and the new Viognier and Chill. All the details at bench1775.com. This is Vintage 2018 in Victoria. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Now that we've talked to Grant Stanley to kick things off, Senka Tennant has joined us here in the studio, two chairs in the middle of the room, and Terra Vista Vineyards. And there's a map that came with this, and I love, I know your hillside well. I love the slope. I love the look of it. And as soon as I saw that was what were you chosen, I thought, oh, that's going to be glorious. I had no idea what you were going to be growing. They show up today. If you tell the audience about your two wines, then I can ask you about that vineyard.
The two wines in terms of Fandango and why they were chosen. When I tasted them in 2008, which was actually a decade ago, I didn't know that what Verdejo would bring to the Albarino in the mouth. But I think those two grapes have never been put together in a bottle. This is the first and only, as far as I know, blend of Albarino Verdejo. And I'm always wondering why the Spaniards have not played around with that sort of possibility.
Tradition, maybe?
Maybe tradition. Like I said, I've seen Sauv Blanc, Chard put together, again, for that mouth aspect of the Albarino. But I think, I don't know. I think, like I said, Verdejo is a light, medium, minus body grape. But I think when you put them together, there's something, they play off of each other. There's some synergy, like I said, some symbiotic relationship that happens in the bottle that I don't really know how to explain. Because when I taste the Verdejo on its own, it certainly doesn't have the same impact as it does when it's put together. And you can see that when you taste the Albarino alone and then you taste the Fandango. It's quite evident to me that Fandango is a little bit more rounded. Albarino is a straight shooter. It's like, really, really energy plus wine.
They just don't want to cancel each other out.
They
work well together.
What
is your favorite food pairing with that wine?
My favorite food pairing is sardines, actually, like, you know, frito misto. Some, you know, bad oils.
I love sardines.
Yeah, I think it just really cleans out the mouth afterwards. It cleans all that oil. Perhaps something like, I don't know, ulekan or something that's really heavy and you know, oily kind of fish would work really well. But then it also works very well with chorizo, things that are spicy in your mouth. They, again, as a palate cleanser. And then the classic, you know, anything infused with lemon, etc. It's a no-brainer kind of thing in terms of the likeness in comparison.
She is Senka Tennant. We're at Vintage 2018 in Victoria, talking about the 2018 Fandango, which is this glorious blend of Albarino and Verdejo, and also the Albarino by itself. How many harvests now on that slope?
2011 was the first Fandango. So, yeah, we're in the 6th, 7th vintage, something.
What's on the top? What's the highest? What are you growing up the top?
At the top of the vineyard? That actually, the little top used to be Verdejo, which was a continuation of this. We have since pulled that out because of 2009, what I was mentioning about the cold Alaskan front that came down. We got lots of crown gall in this block. It survived, but we pulled it out last year and replanted it with more Albarino, actually. So the only Verdejo that remains is the yellow there.
Any surprises on that slope? Are you going to plant anything we haven't talked about?
No.
That's
As far as farming, no. We're not going to be planting anything else.
There's
no babies calling my name in terms of some new varieties. And I think there's enough of that right now already evident in the Okanagan.
What do you think of field blends?
That is a field blend. That is truly a field blend. That's what I refer to. And I don't like to use the word because people don't really know sometimes what that means. But Fandango is a field blend of our vineyard, basically. So all the Verdejo always goes into Fandango. And then the Albarino gets portioned off between the straight Albarino bottling and the Fandango bottling. So, but, you know, when I look back in the vintages, the percentages are always plus or minus 5%, up or down. They don't vary very remarkably between vintages.
Last question for the wine fan. Should they be concerned about the Okanagan fire, smoke, whatever, in the summer?
No evidence so far. I'm talking more about red grapes. Certainly not in ours at all, nothing. We do whole cluster press, so, you know, the skin contact is certainly not there. I have not seen any kind of manifestations during fermentations in terms of smoke damage.
I'll see you next Wednesday.
Okay, thanks.
Senka Tennant, Terra Vista is the name of the vineyard, but you really want to go find these wines that she and Bob have created. The 2018 Fandango, which is a gorgeous blend of Albarino and Verdejo, and the 2018 Albarino by itself, Vintage 2018 Victoria.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
For those of you concerned that Howard Soon could be found walking the streets of some dusty town in the Okanagan, asking people, do you remember which way is up? Don't worry about Howard. Howard's doing just very well. One of my all-time favorite people and all-time favorite winemaker. He is the winemaker at Vanessa Vineyard in the Similkameen Valley, and he has brought two wines to pour and share. I didn't hear all that you had to say there, Howard, but you were talking about the same thing you always talk about, the terroir, the ground, the soil, what it gives you. Yeah, and that's a tough valley. That is a hard valley to be shoving vines in.
Well, we got some great wines from there. I mean, Orofino's a famous name, very good. Corsolettes. A lot of those other guys are doing great wine before I even got there. But I've been working with this vineyard, don't forget, since the day it was planted in 2006. So I know the wines from Sandhill. But now making it the wine from Vanessa Vineyard only, we're able to tune it up a bit. And I think we're making some better reds than we could have done at Sandhill, to tell you the truth.
Howard Soon, Vanessa Vineyards. What was the opening line for Vanessa when they first kicked off? It was, we're going to make the greatest red wine in all of Canada. And then you show up with a rosé, and what was the second one?
Yeah, well, that's because they want us to show the new vintage, 2018. Okay. So those wines are ready for release, so that's why. But reds, yeah, the name of the game is reds. If you're going to make big, powerful reds, do it where the heat is the greatest, and that's got to be at Sommelier Camille.
That's
be
what you got.
Vineyard. Oh, man. It's 200 or 300 degree days higher than we do in Okanagan. So I'm happy. And the soil is incredible with the darned rocks. That's really what makes it, that gives it that, there again, that nerviness that keeps the acidity higher and the pH lower, makes better red wine at the end of the day.
And I know from fishing the Similkameen that you're always going to have a draft coming through there as well.
Oh, yeah, a good wind, a good stiff wind almost all the time. Yeah, very rare is it not to have a wind blowing. So that's good for keeping the vines free of disease, but also making thicker skins.
You blended your rosé, 67% Syrah, 33% Merlot.
Yeah, we wanted to use Syrah, and if I had my druthers, I'd even go even further. I'd go 100% Syrah, because that's the Rhone, and it's got the flavors. I've made rosé for a long time, Terry, but I'm trying to hone it and make it even better and better every year. The rosé is a lighter flavor than, say, most rosés. It's not fruity, not sweet, but more of the traditional French-style Rhone rosé.
You have a map here that shows where everything is planted, but I don't see the Viognier. But I think you're saying that's below the Syrah.
It's underneath the Syrah.
But you had to have Viognier
for Syrah. But then there's that side product, which is the Viognier wine. So the skins of the Viognier go into the Syrah, and the juice goes into Viognier wine, which is lovely. Just a lovely wine for me.
I love this. By itself, gorgeous.
Yeah. Thanks. Nice to see that.
But with the Syrah, you can imagine what it can do.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful Syrah. We showed it in Washington State last week. The guy from Bookwalter Winery says that's the most Rhone-like Syrah I've had. Most true to Syrah. Not the Syrah they have in North America, which is very big, overblown, jammy. This is not.
Howard Soon, Vanessa Vineyards. What I asked you when we first talked about Vanessa, what is the potential of that valley in that particular spot? But I'm going to re-ask the question and say, now, what is the potential for that valley, that spot?
Well, we haven't built the winery yet, Terry, so I think we're going to do even better when we get our own winery going and our own control of what's going on. You know, the fact that I'm working directly with the owner of the vineyard means we can do anything we want, and all he wants to do is have great wine. And so that will help us drive it and make him better wine.
But big reds.
Big reds, and we can afford it. Like, I already know, because of the amount of money we spend, that we can buy any barrel we want and put wine in it. And we couldn't do that before, so now we can. Because he supports it. So Suki Seacon and John Wilson, they support that whole thing.
I remember you and I standing at Burrowing Owl, and you were pointing to the back wall of granite, and I said, what can you... And you started a story about what you could grow up against it. You said it was Sangiovese.
Sangiovese, and we're going to put some in beside our new vineyard at Vanessa, exactly. I want to do that, and it'll be fun. I've just come back from Washington State, saw this winery called Col Solari. Col Solari is a partnership between Pierre Antonori, and St. Michelle Estates. So between them, I've seen the winery, and I've said, holy smokes, I got to do something like that. I'd love to have that kind of setup. They're devoted to Cab, but we can do Sangiovese and have a winery just like that.
Howard Soon, what's to come from Vanessa this year?
We're still blending up the reds, but the reds you buy today are aged in the bottle too, right? So they're 2.5 years in the bottle. That's why they're big and lovely and delicious. So good value. We got more of that coming, more of that, and beautiful Syrah coming.
How many cases of rosé again?
Rosé is, let me see now, 200 of rosé and 300 of Viognier.
Could you make more if you had to?
Yes. Not Viognier, but maybe Syrah for sure, and rosé we could make any amount we want. The trouble is when we do that, we're diverting Syrah grapes out of the Syrah red wine stream. So it's kind of a trade-off, right?
Are you having fun?
Absolutely. If we wouldn't have fun, I wouldn't be doing it. I don't need to do it now that I'm retired. I get the CPP and all that, Terry.
Are you really retired?
Yeah, I think so. But you can't turn it off. You can't turn off your mind when it comes to work, just like yourself. You can't stop, so that's the way it is.
Howard Soon, Vanessa Vineyards. Watch for the releases. They'll come at you, and they'll be surprising. But in this case, we have been drinking, tasting the 2018 Viognier and the 2018 Rosé from the Similkameen Valley. Thank you, Howard.
Thank you, Terry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775, and they're very happy to announce that they have opened their tasting room for the year. They have a library release of a 2013 Pinot Noir, along with their new Pinot Gris and the new Viognier and Chill. All the details at bench1775.com. And just a heads up, that winemaker and general manager, Val Tate, will be one of the guests next week on Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. They have just released the new Screaming Frenzy line of sexiness. The 2018 Pinot Gris, the Sauv Blanc, the Pastel Pachyderm, which is their rosé, the 2017 Pinot Noir, and they're introducing Crikey the Kangaroo. That's their new Shiraz. Aren't you just a little intrigued? Check out thehatchwines.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan in Victoria at the Marriott Hotel, and it's the Vintage 2018 Media Preview in Vancouver and Victoria. But what it is four of the very best winemakers in attendance pouring for us in a room, and we're all making notes. Grant Stanley, Senka Tennant, Howard Soon, and Bailey Williamson from Blue Grouse on Vancouver Island in the Cowichan Valley. You realize, of course, Bailey, that you're representing the entire, well, all the Gulf Islands and the association and whatever, but that's okay.
It's a tall order, but I hope I'm up for it.
You decided to pour the Quill Rosé and the Quill Pinot Gris, the Quill Pinot Noir as well, just for afterwards. But why those? Why did you choose those wines?
I felt that the Quill Rosé, first of all, is 100% Gamay Noir, and it is all from the Cowichan Valley. And I thought it was an excellent representation of what a classic rosé could look like, made from Gamay, which is not an overly commonly grown grape here in on the island. And I thought it represented very well. The Quill Pinot Gris, for similar reasons, because it's 100% Cowichan Valley, but it comes from two different vineyard sites that I purchased. And one is on the north side of Cowichan, and we harvested it much earlier than the second site in the south part of the Cowichan. They were about 3 weeks apart. The first site, in the early picking, we wanted to maintain the acidity and also those bright aromatic flavors that come with that. And then in the second picking, we wanted to accentuate the depth and the character of a riper Pinot Gris and then blend them together at the end.
Bailey Williamson, a winemaker at Blue Grouse in the Cowichan Valley. How different is a Gamay grown in the Okanagan, Similkameen, from Gamay on Vancouver Island?
The Gamay on the island does not get nearly the heat units, so it doesn't get the same brambleberry and really upfront fruit component. It's a bit more austere. I think it's got a little more sort of the pie cherry rather than the Bing cherry. There's days in the vineyard that will be at, you know, 27 degrees during the day, and then at night we'll go down to single digits, like about 9 degrees Celsius. And I mean, that's the key part of a cool climate is that diurnal shift that maintains the acidity so beautifully.
Well, you talk good. We were talking about vintage 2018. How was the year for you? Was it a good year?
As they say in Burgundy, there's no bad years. No, I was encouraged by the year. I thought it was quite good. We've had some very, very good, we've had a very good run of years. You know, we had a small rain event in early September, which seemed to put the brakes on some stuff. But I was overall encouraged by the vintage.
Let me get this right. You plant vineyards in a rainforest, and you complain of a rain event. What's going on? How does that work?
Yeah, I know. It seems a bit funny, but you know, the climate is changing. There is no question. I mean, I think we could be very lucky to see some warmer temperatures and some longer summers. If we could get a little longer into the autumn, that would be the key for us. Because often what happens is once the rain starts on the coast in the end of September, it doesn't usually let up. And that is one of those things that you just, Mother Nature does not take kindly to being meddled with.
Bailey Williamson, Blue Grouse Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. The question that I liked you, because it was a series of questions they wanted everybody on the panel to answer. What effects your wine most, or what affects wine most, terroir, winemaking, or vintage? What do you think?
That's a great question. I think it spawns a lot of debate. I think terroir is, if I was going to use an analogy, terroir would be the innate character that it comes with, just like a person. I think the winemaking is the social environment that you are brought into and how that shapes you as a person and the wines as a wine. And then I think the vintage is what is a little less predictable and very much like the weather, which can change dramatically, and who knows which way the wind's going to blow.
You have at Blue Grouse a nice sparkling program that's sprung up, Pinot Gris, Pinot Noir. You're dealing with some Amphora wines and the Quill series. Describe the difference for all of us out there who see hundreds of bottles, the difference between estate wines at Blue Grouse and the Quill series.
The difference between the wines is the Quill series are grapes that are purchased. I generally try and purchase them on the island if I can, but we're also not growing Merlot and Cabernet Franc on the island, so I purchase those from reputable sources in the Okanagan, and I treat them with as much care and respect as I treat all the grapes that come through here. And then the estate grapes are from our estate that we control the growing of and the harvesting of. And as we grow more grapes, we will see more of the estate wines coming around.
Is it getting tougher and tougher to find a fruit up there in the Okanagan?
I think it's tougher to find grapes almost everywhere in BC. It's a limited commodity, and we've seen a real growth in the industry, which I think is encouraging, but it also means there's some upward pressure on the supply and the cost.
There's a lot of pressure on the growers.
Always pressure on the farmers, and it doesn't just come from us winemakers. It comes from Mother Nature as well.
Bela Williamson, Blue Grouse Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. Okay, we'll talk about Paula Sparkling, and then we'll talk about the Paula Vineyard.
Paula Sparkling is named after our owner's daughter, Paula. We have some Mueller Turgau that's old vine in the vineyard, and that has always gone into it. And then I've been sort of playing around with some of the other grapes that we have on site. The 2016, which is being released very shortly, is 50-50 Mueller Turgau and Pinot Gris. I think the Pinot Gris represents sparkling very well from this region, given the fact that we can maintain the nice acidities for that for the traditional method. And then the Paula Vineyard is a vineyard that we planted in 2017, comprised of four clones of Pinot Noir, some Pinot Meunier, some Chardonnay, and some Pinot Gris. And that was put on some rather gravelly type soils in a spot where we think it'll make beautiful sparkling wine.
How many different Pinot Noirs do you have?
We have two Pinot Noirs. We have the Estate Pinot Noir, which comes from 25-plus-year-old vines of unknown parentage.
Not a lot of them.
No, not even an acre. And then we have the Quill Pinot Noir, which the 2017 vintage, which is out now, has 45% Pinot Noir from Peachland and 55% Pinot Noir from Cowichan Valley.
Do they get along?
And in fact, they really do. I mean, I love making wines from here, but there was just not enough Pinot Noir to be had. And what I found at the end when we did the blending was that the Okanagan Pinot Noir brought a bit of richness and a little more depth to the Cowichan Pinot Noir, which is a bit more linear with brighter fruit. And so I think it was the combination was greater than the parts.
And so the amphora.
And then the amphora was something that we were just doing sort of, we bought an amphora from Italy, and we were looking for something to put in it. And as a first time around, you know, I probably have more Ortega than anything else, and that was what went into the amphora. It was a lot of fun because we put it in, we crushed it into the amphora and then just let it do its thing. And it came out quite nice after 2 months on skins. And then we pressed it, unfined, unfiltered, and it came out kind of orange-like.
You're going to be pouring at the Cowichan Valley Wine Festival. What are the people telling you? Because I know your ears are fully on alert.
I think people are very receptive. I think people are really happy to embrace something coming from the island. I think people are, you know, really encouraged to see that the island in general as a region is stepping up its game, and that there are so many great wineries here now, and that it really makes for a great destination.
Are we getting the character of bluegrass? So people understanding what comes here, what kind of wines you deliver?
I think so. I mean, everybody hears something a bit different, but I think the word's getting out there. I'm encouraged by that, but I may not be the best one to make that assessment. Probably a little too close to it all.
Quill Red, Quill White. Tell me about these blends.
They are blends that are supposed to be easy drinking. The Quill White is a blend of Schoenberger, Gewurztraminer, a bit of Segribe, and Pinot Gris. And what I like to tell everyone is that this is an intentional blend. This isn't, you know, some leftover bits that were left in the cellar that I put in and called it a white blend. I intentionally, you know, purchased these grapes to make this blend. The Schoenberger and the Gewurztraminer are always in there, and then I use a little bit of Segribe and Pinot Gris to flesh out the flavor profile. But this year it's drinking incredibly well and works on a number of levels. The Quill Red, I was able to secure some fruit from my good friend Chris Jentsch before he sold his Golden Mile property, and the Cab Franc and Merlot comes from there, and then a little bit of Marcel Foch from the island as a bit of an homage to where we're at.
Okay, Bailey Williamson, the winemaker at Blue Grouse in the Cowichan Valley, and just a heads up, check out the. Go to our website, tastingroomradio.com. You'll see the billboard announcement saying that the Cowichan Wine Festival is coming your way in August. Make your plans, especially looking for accommodation. Stay where you want to stay, but be in the valley on those 2 days. It's going to be great fun. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Terry.
It's vintage 2018 in Victoria, with thanks to Laura Kitmer, the media relations manager, and my contact with the British Columbia Wine Institute in Kelowna. This has been our coverage of Vintage 2018 with Bailey Williamson from Blue Grouse, Grant Stanley from Spearhead, Howard Soon from Vanessa, and the legendary Senka Tennant from Terra Vista. Enjoy these wines. Go looking for them.
And when we come back, it's Curtis Colt and a rundown on everything that's happening at Top Drop 2019 in Vancouver. And we'll tell you the new city that they're going to right after this. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. This from their Hobo series. Müller-Thurgau was a class of grapes referred to as hybrids. In the 80s and 90s, these workhouse grapes were scorned and systematically eradicated from the valley. But what was old is new again, and the few remaining patches of now noble and old vines have been rediscovered and revived. Check out The Hatch 2016 Müller-Thurgau at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. After 6 weeks of renovation, refurbishing, kitchen and outdoor patio expansion, complete with a new outdoor kitchen and pizza oven, the Unsworth restaurant is officially on spring hours until May the 12th, Wednesday to Saturday and Sunday brunch, 11 to 4, dinner, 4 to closing. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This is Tasting Room Radio, Terry David Mulligan, Curtis Colt's on the line. Three or four of the best words I can put together. Curtis Colt's on the line.
I appreciate that.
It's Top Drop time.
2 weeks before event time, but it's good. We're doing Vancouver. We're doing Calgary. We're doing a little pop-up in Victoria and having a lot of fun.
How different is Calgary from, say, Vancouver?
in their approach, the kind of things that they're interested in?
You know, I don't think that there's that much of a contrast as much as people would think. One thing that we find is, you know, this is our sixth year in Vancouver. This is only our second year in Calgary. So we're a little bit more of an unknown entity. But at the same time, Calgary needs, you know, we feel Calgary needs this event as much as Vancouver does. Mm. You know, authentic wine from international producers. In kind of a smaller, intimate format, and so I think that there's a lot of excitement about it there, whereas here there is still excitement, but I think a lot of people just kind of count on it and are dependent, you know, on it, and you know, we better deliver year after year.
And why do you think Vancouver needed it? We like to think the people, some of these very people say. Vancouver is very sophisticated. We ask great questions. We want to know more about our wines.
Yeah, you know, I'm hearing that, Ted, and I think if you look at our retail and restaurant scene, specifically restaurants, you know, wine-forward ones, very progressive ones, you just have this incredible diversity of wine programs and the scope and different focuses and that sort of thing. And I think that a lot of the sommeliers are into smaller wineries from around the world, new finds, and it just seemed to be the right time to have an event that focuses on, you know, these smaller wineries, these little bit kind of unique finds, and just to add to kind of the overall tapestry of wine events in the city.
But also, you're celebrating that whole that you know your Believe mandate.
Yes.
What you believe in. Can I have the 30-second version of that? It would save me having to spill it out.
fair enough. We definitely believe in wines that are authentic. We're not really into celebrating the you know, bigger kind of more industrial brands. Ours is definitely more terroir influence, handcrafted wines, people behind them. We want wines that taste different from vintage to vintage, if those vintages are different from one another. And we want the people growing the grapes and making the wine to be making the decisions for them, not, you know, a board of directors in an office tower who are trying to find the next big thing. You know, this is really hands-on, you know, on the ground. And, of course, things that go along with that, fruit that's being sustainably farmed, you know, whether or not that means that it's actually certified organic or not, but just, you know, a very considered approach to wine growing.
Making wine for the right reasons.
Yes.
He's Curtis Colt, and he is my top drop guy. I got this notice, besides just the main event, which I know is sold out because it just does, it just sells out. I noticed that you have a thing, you did a mail out about the nature of things, starting at the American. So these are satellite events?
Yes, so the main event, the big grand tasting is on Friday night, May 24th, but the night before here in Vancouver, on the 23rd, we have a dozen events, and a lot of them very accessibly priced at $55, walk-around style, where we each one will have five or six winemakers or principals from international wineries pouring their stuff, along with food being served. And, you know, this isn't, we're not talking 8-course grand meals with long speeches in between courses and all that. These are, you know, the music may be a little louder. You're walking around and having a lot of fun. We're doing, like you mentioned, the nature of things at the American. So that's some of the producers that are more air towards that natural wine side of things. We have Chef Robert Belcham's Monarch Burger, his
nice.
Famous burgers that'll be on hand for that. We have our second annual edition of Pink Links, which is a sausage charcuterie and rosé party
down at
Wildebeest.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of fun. We're going to be at Bodega with Portuguese and Spanish producers downstairs with tapas and pinchos. And then we're doing a barbecue and fried chicken party at Mammy Taylor's with DL Chicken, who just got Best Casual at the Vancouver Magazine Restaurant Awards. And we have a whole assortment of wineries with them. Everyone from Craggy Range from New Zealand to Wakefield from Clare Valley, Australia.
Nice.
Alan from Synchromish right here in the Okanagan Valley, his killer Rieslings. There's just a lot we have going on the Thursday night. It's a lot of fun.
Is there a pizza party still?
There is a pizza party at Campagnolo, again, with Chef Robert Belcham.
Wow.
With his, he's making some custom pizzas and other small bites for the event. We have, it's all Italian producers from, mostly from the north, Trentino, Alto Adige, to Piedmont. But then we also have, we thought it'd be fun, we're throwing in Stag's Hollow Winery from the Okanagan Valley, because they like to play around with things like Dolcetto and Teraldigo.
Exactly.
And Moscato. And so we thought we'd kind of cheer on the home team there.
He's Curtis Colt, and he is my top drop guy. By the way, we do have for some of you, we have a surprise at the end of this conversation. There's one more event we're about to announce for the Saturday night, and if you don't know anything about it, it's going to be such a surprise. This is a Tasting Room Radio, Terry David Mulligan, Curtis Colt's on the line. So Top Drop Vancouver 2019, right at the very top, the very first name is a Sunday in August. BC winemaker Michael Schindler will be there, winemaker and proprietor. And they are doing your satellite events as well. Tell us about a Sunday in August.
Sunday in August, Mike Ray is a Vancouver boy, a musician, and he just has always had a love for wine, wanted to kind of play around. And so what he does is he purchases small lot fruit from the Okanagan and the Similkameen Valley and make wines. Definitely have a natural bent. He does all wild ferments, unfined, unfiltered, just very, you know, honest, authentic, fresh and lively expressions of Okanagan and Similkameen fruit, definitely made in small batches. He sells out quite quick, so this will be great for him and great for the masses to get to know the guy.
Curtis, Artacama.
Artacama. So yes, this is an arm of Le Vieux Pam, Severin Pinte's, excellent wine. She's making Le Vieux Pam. This is a little side project, Artacama, again, along the natural line of things. So a little bit, zippy, fresh, unfiltered, unfined stuff that allows, her winemaking team to kind of geek out a little bit on the side.
Did you say the word zippy?
I said zippy.
That's astonishing.
Some zippy freshness, lively acidity, citrusy, all that.
From Santa Rita County, Brewer Clifton, Greg Brewer, founder and winemaker.
It's Brewer Clifton is, fantastic. There's going to be some incredible Pinot Noir and such, this kind of elevated, lauded brand. Super excited. You can't have a wine event in Vancouver without California representing.
Kalmina from the Okanagan.
Modern legends, Dawn, Elaine, and Sarah Triggs. They're doing some great work out of Oliver on the Golden Mile bench. And, site by site, they put so much work into planting those vineyards and doing so many studies to make sure they're growing the ideal fruit in the ideal place. One of my favorites that they make, Gruner Veltliner, Austrian grape variety, which we don't normally see out of BC, but it does so well here. The lovely lime, kind of herbal freshness to them, goes really well with the way we eat here.
And right below them, Domaine Colette, Chablis, France.
Yeah, with Romain Colette, the proprietor. So we all like a little Chardonnay, crisp, lively stuff. Full of apples and pears, and it's springtime. We're heading into summer, so we definitely want to have some bright and fruit-forward, lively wines from Chablis in the house.
Actually, when I looked at it, there's another Chablis there. There's the Louis Michel.
Yes, Louis Michel with Guillaume Michel. He's family proprietor again, and that's one thing that's really important to us, that you are getting, whether it's the winemaker or the family proprietor or so on, nothing against our local wine reps, but this is, it's incredible that you're talking to people that are walking these vines every day, that are making the wines, and it's such a great chance to chat with them while sipping on their fare.
Tasting Room Radio, Terry David Mulligan, Curtis Colt's on the line. Echo Bay. Tell me about Echo Bay.
Echo Bay, this is fun. When the application came in, the selection committee, which is comprised of local sommeliers and retailers, were super excited. Super small producer. They were actually recommended that they apply by Alan from Synchromesh, who does some fantastic Rieslings. They're doing a little bit bolder fare. They're playing around with some Bordeaux varieties, Cabernets and such. and just really exciting kind of new wave small batch Okanagan wine.
Fortis Vineyards, Rogue Valley, Oregon.
Yeah, you know, we have a lot of sommeliers in the room. There's going to be a lot of Pinot Noir fans. And, well, who isn't a Pinot Noir fan?
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a kinship along the West Coast here between Northern California, Oregon, Washington, and us, of course. And so it's just, you know, great to see Oregon represent.
And Fernando Frias from Frias Family Vineyard in Spring Mountain.
Spring Mountain, yeah, really great. I'm looking for. I've never met Fernando, and again, you know, testament we're going to have, you know, him being able to tell us. You know, we always hear the bigger words, the bigger appellations, Sonoma and Napa, and so on. And I want to know when I swing by, you know, what makes Spring Mountain unique. And you know, I'm going to have the guy who owns the winery, and you know, he'll be able to tell me.
It's like a travel show, like a drinking travel show without leaving Vancouver. It's fantastic. But, however, we're going to celebrate BC, of course. There's Kish. There's Le Vieux Pin. Little Farm. Look at that. Your little Reese Pender's coming. He's going to have to be nice and family-friendly. Locke and Worth are going to be here. Roche. Oh, I love Roche. Cinque Ramesh. Ellen is coming. Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. And what did I spot here? There was one here. Oh, tell me about Marchantaz Burgundy.
Marchantaz, yeah, Domaine de Marchand, super exciting to, you know, I think this kind of goes back to us saying that we're very, you know, Pinot-centric people in the industry here. Pinot Noirs and Chardonnays are big, and why not go right to the source to represent the cruise of Burgundy? And we have, you know, the winemaker from Marchantaz. Incredible stuff.
Two more, and we don't ever see enough of the Willamette Valley pouring in Vancouver. Not for my liking. Penner Ash from the Willamette. And who else is there? There's somebody else. There's...
we have Stoller,
coming, yeah, Stoller.
From Dundee, I believe. Yep. Yes. We have Bill Hansen, you know, he's great. Their export director. He's been in town a fair amount. So, you know, he knows the market here. He knows the way that we work with his wines. It's very great. And, you know, a couple booths down from him, we're going to have Saint Tomas from Tokaj in Hungary. This is our first ever Hungarian producer.
Man.
So that's super exciting, regular table wine, plus your Tokaj, your kind of sweeter fare. Really excited to meet those folks.
All right, speaking of excitement, Curtis Colt right now is going to announce one more pop-up event, and I'll let you take it from there.
Yes, our good friends at Vessel Liquor in Victoria, amongst, you know, the arguably the best wine selection any retail store in Victoria. Ross Borland, proprietor and the guy who runs the show, he's been begging us, hey, you know what, send us over a few winemakers the next day when they're done. Why don't we do a little thing? Let's do a little thing. And there was so much enthusiasm from our winemakers and everything. He had to move it off-site, doing it at the Victoria International Marina. And we have 16 of our wineries who are going to be making the float plane over the next day and pouring their stuff. It's going to be between, I'm trying to remember, 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Nice little casual Saturday afternoon. And we have, of course, you know, Unsworth. They're going to have to represent on the Vancouver Island. But DeMartino, excellent Chilean producer. Wakefield from the Clare Valley in Australia. Craggy Range from New Zealand. Domaine de Fontevin from the Rhone. Again, we just talked about Stoller from Dundee Hills. And then Villa Sparina from Piedmont in Italy. So all of them are going to be exploring the beautiful Vancouver Island and Victoria. And, you know, they get to wrap up at 5 and then take on the town. So pretty fun.
Ah, that's fantastic. It's become It's become the little engine that could.
Yes. And so for those who are interested in the Victoria pop-up opportunity, we will be throwing something on our site, topdrop.ca. But then also you can find out more information at vessellliquor.com. And make sure you go and support those guys. They have an excellent wine retail business.
They can't get another bottle in that building. It's absolutely
jammed. Oh, I know.
They
a broad selection. Those shelves don't go deep, but they go wide. It's really great.
Are you getting on the plane with them?
I will be on the plane with them.
Yeah! Yes. Man, yes. That's beautiful. Okay.
Yes. The carry-on baggage will just be, you know, right below my eyes. That's it.
Okay. What's the website for people?
Topdrop.ca. That's all your information you need.
And Facebook, the same thing?
Topdrop Canada on Facebook. Instagram is Topdrop Canada. And same with Twitter.
He's Curtis Colt, and he is my Top Drop guy, always has been. Thank you so much. Congratulations on this.
Awesome. Thanks, TDM.
Next week, we head back to Victoria, and we hook up with 19 Naramata Bench wineries as they pour their spring releases. It's a busy time, friends. Please join us. You can find all the details on this and other shows at tastingroomradio.com or mulliganstew.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. After 6 weeks of renovation, refurbishing, kitchen and outdoor patio expansion, complete with a new outdoor kitchen and pizza oven, the Unsworth restaurant is officially on spring hours until May the 12th, Wednesday to Saturday and Sunday brunch, 11 to 4, dinner, 4 to closing. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com.